Right, guys, thank you so much for coming today for Tuesday Tips for Parents of Teens here at Raising Remarkable Teenagers. And today we've got our lovely guest, Kai Graham. And Kai is there, go on and give us a wave. Kai is a parenting coach and on a mission to help parents support their children so that together, guys, we can build a mentally healthier and happier generation of young people. And as you and I know, when our young people are happy and healthy, we as parents, especially mothers, I mean, I like to speak for myself, I feel there's a fulfillment that comes with it. And you guys, you know, I can talk till the cows come home, but what I want to do is introduce Kai to you. Kai, go ahead and say hello.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us, yes, for the next hour. And hopefully we will be able to shed some light onto this roller coaster that is parenting, especially parenting teenagers.
Absolutely. And Kai, you're going to be talking to us about your teen toolbox later. But right now, one of the first questions we like to discuss with the coaches and parents that come on this show is being intentional, because what we have found is that when parents are intentional, they are more able and more effectively to raise more effective young people. So tell me, when you hear about being an intentional parent, what does that mean to you, or what do you think it means?
Do you know what, when I speak to parents, sometimes there's no blooming intention there at all, apart from just trying to do their very best and to raise kids that are going to turn into fully fledged, sort of well-formed adults. Mm-hmm. Parenting is a really confusing sort of time. Sometimes we've got it all sussed. Sometimes we sort of think, do you know what? I've got this. I know what I'm doing. I'm heading in the right direction. And then the goalposts change and life throws us a curveball. And it's, oh, for flip's sake. Well, you know, I thought I was going down that route and you know, I was juggling those balls. And now suddenly I've got to pay attention to something totally different. So to actually sort of think, I need to be intentional about my parenting, I've got a plan about parenting, good luck with that, because for me it really changes on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. Sometimes with hormones and emotions, it changes on an hourly basis. Mm-hmm. So I think if we sort of you know, if we sort of try and stick to a roadmap too much, I think we restrict ourselves and I think we put ourselves under too much pressure. My view is we just got to do the best we can. And we've got to go with, I often sort of say to sort of parents, you know, yeah, you can listen to the experts until the cows come home. I can sit here for the next hour and tell you all about what's good, what you should do and what you shouldn't do and what does work and what doesn't work. And I would say, listen to as many experts as you want to. But also remember that you are the expert in your family. You are the expert of your child. So when I sort of say, oh, well, one child, you know, children really should be doing sort of, you know, sort of 3 hours of homework a night, and it's best if you do sort of 40 minutes on and 20 minutes on and 40 minutes off and 20 minutes. And, you know, so some of you are going to turn around and go, yeah, that sounds really good. I'll make a note of that. And others are going to go, don't be so stupid. There's no way that's going to last with my kids. So listen to the experts, but go with your gut. Go with, trust yourself, trust your instincts. You know what it's like. You know, when your kids were little and they were about to sort of, you know, when they were teething and you go, hang on a minute, something's not right here. Or they're just about to break out into chickenpox and you sort of go, they're just, no, something's going on. You know, you inherently, you know, if there's something right or if there's something wrong in your home. Now, all right, if you're needing advice and sort of go, well, you know, this isn't working, what can I do? Absolutely great. But don't put all your faith in, I shouldn't be, you know, it sounds strange me saying this, don't put all your faith in us experts. Mm-hmm. Put your faith in yourself, and if you like something that we say and it feels good in your heart or it gets your gut, then go for it. But you don't have to follow this blueprint of parenting, because I tell you what, there isn't one. And once you realize that, if you take your foot off the gas a bit, give yourself a break and just take parenting with a clear conscience and a loving heart, I think you're going to be doing okay.
Wow. Look at you. That was so powerful. And what I heard you say there is that as parents, and correct me if I'm wrong, is we need to trust ourselves.
Okay.
We need to act on our own empowerment. Of course, it's very important to listen, to gain skills and strategy and information, because again, we can't go life, nothing in life would succeed if we went blindly.
Yeah.
But then at the end of it is, does this feel right for me? And what one of the things I like what you say is things change every day, and that's one of, and that's why parents ask me, oh, give us tips and tactics. I say, no, tactics, tips, they are temporary.
Yeah, totally.
But when you have principles guiding you, those are permanent.
Yes, it's values, isn't it?
It's values, the principles that, for example, deciding whatever happens, I'm going to love, whatever happens, I'm going to be kind. Those are principles. It doesn't tell you to it's not specific, like telling you feed your kid at 10 o'clock or it's, but does it feel kind? What feels kind for you? Is it feeding them at whatever, at 10 o'clock, or not feeding them when, you know, and those are, and I love what you said, because there's definitely no blueprint, right? But once we've gathered all the information and then bring it home and decide, does it fit with my values? Does it fit with how I feel? Does it fit? Am I, whatever I'm doing right this minute, am I enhancing my kid's life or am I not? And those are questions. And that's why I love about when you talk about intentional, because sometimes when we talk about intentional, people think, here is a plan. Or you go to Kai, she gives you a plan. But your kid is not like Kai's kid. Actually, one of the things I like about you, Kai, is you've got, not only are you a great parenting coach, you also have your own young people, you know, that you're very, you get very vulnerable as you speak about them, and you're so real, right?
My young people are getting less young by the minute. They're now 29 and 27. So I have been in the parenting trenches. And I've been in there long enough to know that, you know, you do think that, oh, right, I'm sort of on the crest of a wave and I'm doing really well. You know, it might be sort of you sort of sitting there and you just sort of, you go getting the other side of the sort of terrible twos and you think, hurrah, I've got it. And then they start school and it goes all wonky. And then you think, hurrah, I've got it. And then hormones hit you. And then you sort of think, hurrah, I've got it. And then they sort of leave home, but they still need your attention and they still need your love. And they still, and that's the thing. And we're never going to get this one 100% right, and that's okay. And do you know what the lovely thing is that sort of my kids, 27 and 28, they still need me, hurrah for that. And so I think the thing is what I'm learning now is that I can learn from my kids. So I mean, if we're sort of saying, you know, what do we need to, what are the principles behind being a parent, is to admit that sometimes you mess up, to admit that sometimes you can learn from your kids, to admit that you don't have all the answers. And you know, I apologize so many times to my kids. God, I really messed up there, didn't I? Sorry about that one. And I think the thing is that your kids don't want you to problem solve everything all the time. Sometimes they just want you to sit down and go, yeah, it sucks, doesn't it? And so it's just, I think the thing is, especially when we are, you know, sort of we've done, our kids start sort of hitting the teenagers and you go, hang on a minute, I've been doing parenting for a decade. Why haven't I got this sorted? And I think the thing is because hormones come in, because the goalposts keep changing. But I think also what we have to acknowledge is for the last decade or so, 10, 12 years, you've been managing your child. You've been making sure they eat their greens. You're making sure that they go outside with a jacket on. You've been made sure that they're sort of wearing sort of shoes on their feet. You're making sure that they're brushing their teeth. And then suddenly, you know, you tell your child sort of, don't forget your school bag. And at the age of 13, oh, God. You know, so suddenly it's like, well, what happened there? It used to work. And, you know, have you cleaned your teeth? Oh, goodness sake, how old do you think I am? 4. And we have to learn that our role has changed from manager to mentor. And so now when our kids are teenagers, we are at this stage of guiding them and walking beside them rather than telling them what to do the whole time. You know, try as you might, good luck with that. You know, sort of if you're sort of trying to tell your child what to do, it's with a teenager, it doesn't wash so well. So we have to adapt our language, we have to adapt our beliefs, we have to adapt our style of communication. Mm. And then once we start doing that, we start getting the cooperation again.
Wow. I love, you know, you just jumped in there and really this for those of us who are in the community and in the village and in this family of raising remarkable teenagers, we love to hear that because that way it makes us I'm speaking for myself, but also speaking as part of the community. We know that what you're saying is so true because it doesn't apportion any blame or shame, but it makes us constantly know, you know, I can't sit down and think I've done it. It's you. The thing is, we are bringing up another life. And what do we know about life? Life is always expressing, it's always expanding. So sometimes I like to say, you know, it's like trying to contain wind or air in your hands, you know? Yeah. You know it's there, but you can't hold it. It can slip through your fingers. So the best thing is to work with it. And as Kai said, that's a beautiful, beautiful mindset for us to have, and especially for those of you who are possibly joining us for the first time, we think a lot about shifting our mindset, becoming transformational parents, becoming leaders, incredible leaders, because as we become credible leaders, our teenagers begin to say, actually, you know, most of the time they'll tell us we don't know what we are talking about, right? And some of them, for example, My community knows my own daughter. She will outright tell me if she doesn't think I know what I'm talking about. Others may not speak it out, but the eyes they'll give you they're literally showing us that we don't know what we are talking about. But we can begin to educate ourselves on how their bodies are changing, how their brains are changing, the people they are becoming. And as we lean into them and they know that we actually want to value them, we want to understand them, then even the respect comes with that, because our young people want to feel valued. They want to feel respected first by us. And so, before I carry on and lose my trail of thought, Kai, I want to ask you, because as I know you're a neuro-linguistic practitioner, right? And you know, you are so good at this. And I know we as parents, sometimes need to shift some of the beliefs that actually are hindering us from having amazing, fulfilling, peaceful relationship with our young people. So what kind of beliefs do you regularly come, you know, see with parents, or what do you think actually stops us from having those great relationships with our young people?
What stops us having great relationships with our young people? You mentioned something called transformational parenting. If I said to my children, I'm trying to be a transformational parent and I'm doing the very best I can, they go, oh, for God's sake, you're having a laugh. What the heck are you talking about? And I think the thing is that I think we try far too often as parents to do it the right way and to get the right approach. And as I said, we need to trust our gut. We need to trust our heart. We need to trust ourselves. And I have many, many firm beliefs about parenting. And you mentioned respect. I know as a fact that as individuals, it doesn't matter if you're 5, 25, 45 or whatever, as individuals, we want to feel loved.
Mm-hmm.
We want to feel understood.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to feel respected. Now, I'm not saying, therefore, to do that, you need to feed your child five a day. To do that, you need to make sure your child gets to school on time. To do that, you need to make sure your child does the best they can to get A grades. No, not talking about any of that. Loved, understood, and respected. Now, if people don't pay attention, well, that's, I was going to say pay attention to me. That sounds very diva-ish, doesn't it? If people aren't listening to me when I'm speaking, I feel undervalued. When people are rolling their eyes at me, I don't feel understood. When people are talking across me, I do not feel respected. When people don't have my back, I don't feel loved. And yet we want to see, at the end of the day, come on, as parents, all we say when the proverbial hits the fan, we go, I just want them to be happy. And that's it. And so by love, and if you think of the three pillars of love, understanding, and respect, love, I in my book, which is just there, I talk a lot about unconditional love and unconditional love. And I think a lot of the time we do we try and get our kids to do things that we want them to do, and we often make them feel that perhaps the love could be conditional. If you tidy your room, I will be pleased with you. If you get an A in maths, then everyone will be happier with you. And it doesn't, you know, sort of, you know, why do you always leave the towel on the floor? You make me so cross. Well, hang on a minute, that's not unconditional love. And I think the thing is what we need to do. When I know someone's got my back, I feel like a happy bummy. And that's what our kids need. Our kids need to feel as though they have our support unconditionally. And it could be, yes, it could be lots of, you know, question is, parents, when was the last time you told your child you loved them? I am sort of, you know, maybe I sort of go overboard, but I tell my, even, you know, my kids don't live with me anymore, but I would sort of message them and sort of leave silly messages. And it's how does your child feel loved? Go and Google the five love languages, because some of us like praise, some of us like people to spend time with us, some of us like sort of, you know, gifts, some of us that, you know, so there are many, many different love languages, and it's worth finding out what is it that makes you feel secure and loved, and in turn it might not be the same as what makes your child feel secure and loved. And so it's a much used word, but I think oftentimes we don't understand it enough. And I think the thing is that we need our kids to sort of do, you know, we need to sort of portray to them that I might not like what you're doing at the minute, but I still love you. You know, I've got a son and a daughter. You are just my best son. You're just my favorite daughter. And they go, oh, yeah, okay. But, you know, they sort of, and sometimes they, you know, the choices that they make wouldn't really quite adhere to my values, but mm-hmm. they still know that I have their back. They still know that I am there to sort of love and support them. So love is a big thing.
Wow.
Understanding is also major. And sometimes we feel like our kids are being brought up on a different planet. I think the thing is that we sort of sometimes we don't understand the world that they're in. And so we should be making it our business to be au fait with the world that they're living in, be it politics, be it sort of social media, be it, you know, sort of, come on. When I was young, I'd never even heard of gender fluidity. Do you know what I mean? I'd never even heard of self-harm. We didn't have self-harm, in air quotes, when I was seven, you know, and so we need to understand the pressures that our kids are under. We need to understand, you know, what exam stresses are about. We've just been through a pandemic, for goodness sake. We never grew up as parents in a pandemic. So I think the thing is, many a time we parent from fear because we haven't experienced that ourselves. Sometimes it's a matter of going, lead me through this. I don't understand what's going on either, but I'll tell you what, let's work it out together. Because we shouldn't have to feel as though we need to have all the answers. Because COVID's just shown us that you can get a curveball and we're all sitting there with, you know, clueless. So I think a lot of what's going on for our kids, we don't have to solve those problems, but we need to be au fait with what's going on in their world. And the best way to do that is listen. And it's to say, tell me what's going on for you. Explain to me how you're feeling. Can I support you through this? And it could be, you know, so well, don't keep sorting everything. Or, you know, it could just be, give me a break when I come in from school. Or it could just be, you know, you don't understand that I need to go onto YouTube at 11 o'clock at night. Right, okay, Twitch. But I mean, I think the thing is that we didn't have social media. I had a blimmin' phone with a long cord on the whole table, for goodness sake. I mean, you know, I'd never had mobile phones or podcasts or anything like this. So we didn't grow, you know, for what is normal for our kids, it's alien to many parents.
Absolutely.
We need to understand it. And sometimes by asking your child to explain it, that's a great way of creating that bond, if that's what you need.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And I feel from what you're saying is that the lack of understanding, and it's something we know very clearly in research that this lack of connection is so rife in teenage years.
Yes.
And most of the time it's because we as parents are not willing to step into their world. And you said something very, very amazing, that we are parenting from fear.
Yeah.
And what I say is, what about we parent from faith? Believe in them, because our young people, we rise to the level that we believe for them, right? That that's where they'll rise to that level. And without the connection, what again, we know, and many people that are listening and have been in this community for any length of time, we talk about young people who are disconnected with their parents. They are prime prey for exploitation, and that's drugs exploitation, sex exploitation, crime exploitation, and of course we have the mental health problems. So the least we can do as parents, and I don't give these statistics to scare people, but it's so that we come and do this with an understanding and know, okay, I've got to be more conscious about this thing, connection, right? Just because my kid is pulling away, I don't have to say, all right, you go, you don't want to speak to me. You have Kai say very clearly, and I've shared this with you guys, sometimes even daughter, she's not interested in speaking to me, but that doesn't stop me from messaging her and saying, because that's the gadget she is on, message her and say, how is my lovely doing? And by the way, don't expect a response.
Oh, no.
Like you said, Kai, this has to be unconditional, because if you're expecting a response and then they don't respond, and sometimes they don't because they don't think this is important, even though innately connection is one of the very basic need. Especially, this is very interesting because in toddlers, connection is very important. And then they seem like they're living it and everything. And then as they grow older, we think, oh, they don't really need us and everything. But what we know is connection remains one of the basic needs. And who best but us as parents to fulfill that need? Because here's the thing. If we don't fulfill this, someone else is going to do it. And because our kids haven't got the skills to say no, or because a need is a sort of a desperation sometimes, right?
And
that's why at this age they're very susceptible to exploitation. So just knowing that, it's very important that we think, it doesn't matter how much they roll their eyes. Like I said, love them unconditionally. Our job is to love them unconditionally. And I have always shared that we as parents, especially of teenagers, we have to be like the sun. We show up and shine, right? So I want to ask you, Kai, and I know you do have some beautiful, because I've had some of your conversations and podcasts, and also we've had one together, right? So, you know, any personal, do you have any personal experience that made you feel, actually, I want to do this in a more conscious way? I want to parent in a more conscious way, or that something that actually made you feel, I want to teach parents, I want to show parents how we can do this thing, you know, how they can be more conscious.
I think the thing is that it goes back to values. And I think the thing is, as parents, we beat ourselves up, is that we keep on sort of saying we've got it wrong and everyone else, you know, I'm hopeless at this and my child's going off the rails. And I think the thing, that's absolute rubbish. 95% of the kids that are, you know, yes, they'll roll their eyes, but yes, they also are craving your attention and love you dearly. And I think the thing is what we need to do is we need to understand that actually their withdrawal has nothing to do with you. So you can take it. It's not about you. Take the ego out of it. Oh my gosh, they're not answering my text. Oh my gosh, they're not doing as I say. You know, that, forget that, because this is biology. This is basically, you know, we are primitive beings. I mean, you know, the iPhone is better developed than our brain. But the point is that we are wired from about the age of, well, when hormones sort of kick in, we are wired to leave the tribe, go and sort of set up a little homestead somewhere else, leave the family behind, and go and sort of create our own little tribe. Well, that's absolutely fine. What happens, sadly, is the blimmin' government have set out rules and society has said, no, you're not really allowed to leave home until you're 18. So we're sitting here under, if we're lucky enough to have a roof over our head, we're sitting here with teenagers that are wired to leave the house, and God, they can't see us far enough. And it's nothing to do with us. It is biology. So if you sort of stop and think for a minute, do you know what? It's not because I'm a rubbish mum. It's because biology is taking over and they are meant to be leaving. And so the point is acknowledging that and saying to your kid, I get this. Mm-hmm. I get that you can't stand the sight of me. I was the same with my parents. But you know what? We're stuck together, love. So let's make this work. Let's do it the best way that we can. And I lowered my expectations. I mean, you know, from personal experience, I remember many a summer holiday, we're about to embark on that, where my kids sort of, you know, yes, they'd done their exams and yes, they wanted to relax. And their dad was going out to work and I was either, there was a time where I was sort of, you know, a stay-at-home mum. And my kids were sort of loafing around and sort of sitting in their jammies and, you know, whatever. And I always said to them, come 5:30, your dad's coming in through the door at sort of 6 o'clock, you're going to have to pretend you've had a really, really productive day. I want you changed. I want you showered. And so for the whole day, I took my, not for the whole 9 weeks, but, you know, for many a time, I just put my foot off the pedal and I said, love, you can chill. This is what you're, because kids need that. They need the space. And their life is so blimmin' frenetic. They've got this blimmin' thing wired to their hip and they need to be able to chill. And so I think as parents is, lower your standards a bit, you know, lower the bar and then you won't be so disappointed. And I just remember my darling husband coming in from work, kids looking showered and quite presentable. And, you know, sort of Alice just used a bare face, look at him, go, yeah, I've done a lot of sorting today and I've applied for this. And he go, oh, well done, yeah. And, you know, half an hour previously, they were sitting there sort of watching Netflix, doing absolutely nothing. But I think the thing is, and it's not teaching them to be lazy. It's giving them and it's trusting and having, as you say, Angela, having the faith to know, do you know what? They're going to turn out all right. Mm-hmm. And they're going to be okay. And if they've got me on their back every single day of the summer holidays going, well, you'll amount to nothing and you're not going to get anything done and you really should be doing X, Y, and Z. I mean, God, it's like a crack record, isn't it? So I think the thing is just being kind to yourself and being kind to your kids, knowing that they will be okay. Mm. And just sort of doing that, I'm here for you. You might raise your eyes, you roll your eyes. You might just sort of think, you know, you can't be bothered with me. That's absolutely fine. But I want you to know that I've got your back. And eventually it does. It comes back. They, you know, my kids couldn't be bothered with me. They thought I hadn't a clue what I was talking about. But I think I trusted in my knowledge that I wasn't always going to get it right, but I was always going to try and do my best by them and for them. And I think doing that, I think everyone knows that you're all heading in the right direction.
Oh, that is so beautiful. I love your stories, you know. And which one of us here who has teenagers has not heard, I can't wait to leave home?
Yeah.
I know I have heard it. I know parents who have said, oh, my kid never said that, but the kids have told me, oh yeah, I can't wait to leave home, right? So we've got kids who will outright say it, others will not. And like I said about this biology, because as human beings, we are wired to procreate. And what happens is this, every living being is meant to express. So they break away from the unit and then they move over and create their own thing. And that's how we procreate. We everything does that. Even the one cell amoeba does that, right?
Well, I think you're right, Angie. And I think the thing is that those kids that aren't saying it maybe don't say it in case they think that they might be upsetting mum or dad. And I think the thing is that we need to have those tricky conversations and get, you haven't said it, but maybe you're feeling like this. And then I go, oh my God, how do they know? Oh my God, thank goodness that, you know. And it's because our kids, their brains are work in progress. Now, the sort of, they call it the teenage brain. It's not fair, it's the adolescent brain. A young man's brain that sort of finally reaches sort of its maturity at about sort of late 20s. And the young woman's brain is sort of reaches maturity a little bit earlier than that. So, you know, so early to mid 20s. So it's way past the teenage years. And in the meantime, they have got this head full of rubbish where there's hormones and chaos and they don't know what to do and they don't understand. And they've got all these feelings that they can't quite put a label on. And they are feeling confused and scared and worried. And then they, gosh, if I say that, I'm going to upset so-and-so. And I think the thing is we have to show our kids that what they are feeling is normal. What they are feeling is, you know, having a chaotic brain is part of the territory of adolescence. Mm-hmm. And that it's okay. And that actually it does all sort of calm down after a while. And that actually that feeling of I haven't a clueness does actually eventually, well, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes I still haven't a clue at 57, for goodness sake. But I mean, you know, it's okay. And sometimes we just have to roll with it because Instagram and Facebook and social media sort of tells us that everything's perfect and we're meant to have plans for everything and we're meant to look all filtered, and it doesn't work like that. And I think the thing is saying to our kids, it's all right if you feel like a ruddy mess.
Absolutely. That's
part of growing up. And we all felt like that. And it does sort of, you know, it works itself out in the end. And I think the thing is that we need to sometimes voice our kids' fears so that they know that they are not abnormal.
Absolutely. I love that, because when we initiate those conversations, we are able to help them actually make sense of what's happening. And you guys have had me say, like, a teenager is like it's like a crock pot. There's so much happening within their bodies and their brains. And actually, it's more of a pressure cooker, right? So much happening. And we as parents, we can't do anything about what's happening inside. But here's what we can do. Just like you and I know that when you open that pressure cooker at the top, the pressure is released a little bit. It doesn't stop what's happening inside, but that keeps that pot safe. Otherwise, if we leave it tightly open, it's going to burst and break. And that's what's happening to a lot of our teenagers when they're not able to express themselves. But when they don't feel safe, they don't have safe spaces to speak. And it's us as parents who need to be those safe spaces, so they're feeling that even if whatever I say, I'm not going to get in trouble. Because yeah. No one likes to get in trouble. Whatever I say, I'm not going to be shamed, right? Or whatever I say, I'm feeling so safe that I can express myself. And by the way, guys, don't confuse this for rudeness, because there is expressing yourself and then there's also rudeness, right? And it's up to us as well. And I have talked about my daughter. Sometimes she'll say something, like sometimes she'll say to me, Mommy, you don't know what you're talking about. And I'm like, wait a minute. There is no need for you to attack me as a person. You can say that my idea doesn't make sense, right? Because there is that. So what do I do in that situation? I'm allowing her to say whatever she wants, but I'm also saying that it doesn't have to be nasty. It doesn't have to be rude, right? So she's able to, she doesn't always get it right. She repeats all these mistakes over and over again, and we have to have the same conversation again, that it's not, don't attack the person. Talk about the idea being crazy or useless or whatever, but not the person. We don't attack people as people. We can look at the ideas and say they don't make sense or whatever, however we want to talk about it, but not the people. And that's where the rudeness, and again, we come back to the values about being kind, you know, were you kind the way you spoke to me, right? So, and I like also what you said about, Kai, what you said about as parents, there's this thing of doing, like your kid must be doing something. We've turned our kids, and I suppose it's because also some of us who are parented like that, if you're not doing something, you're of no use. So we're passing this on to our kids. And what I like to say is that, and I would like you to talk on that, is about us and our kids being human beings and not human doings, right?
Yeah, I remember when Jack went from primary school to secondary school, and they used to do swimming, and they used to do judo, and they used to do piano, and they used to do. And I just remember sort of saying to right, I said to Jack, now what clubs? He was the first week of secondary school, and I said, what clubs are you going to join, and what are you going to do? And he just went, please. I just want to stop everything. And I went, you can't possibly. And I thought, hang on a minute. And I went, tell me what's going on here. And he went, I'm exhausted. And he said, I don't have the bandwidth to do this. He said, this is a totally different way of studying, going from primary school to secondary school. He said, I can't even cope with this. And he said, please, I don't want to do all these classes after school. I just want to collapse in a heap. And it was like, but as a mother, I'm failing him because he should be getting all these skills. And suddenly it was, no, yeah, okay. All right, mate, I get it. And I think the thing is, you know, I've sort of mentioned love, understanding, and there's also respect. We have got, it's a big one here, is I say to parents that your teen knows best. Mm-hmm. I was going, oh my gosh, no, I've been through, I'm the oldest and I'm the grown up and I've made all the mistakes and I don't want my child to make the same mistakes as me. Stop. Your child knows their own values. Your child knows what sets them apart. Your child knows what sort of passions they have. You know, don't try and make your child become a blimmin' dentist and study biology, physics, chemistry and maths. If actually they want to go on the road and have a band, or actually they want to learn about sustainability and you know, clean the oceans of the plastic or whatever it is, we need to understand that your child is the best person who is in charge of their own brain, and we need to support them in doing just that. And I think the thing is that we need to be respectful of, and it could be Jack saying to me, I want to give it all up, I want to give all the extracurriculars up, and there was me twitching. But we need to respect that, and we need to understand that what's right for us. I mean, the thing is that we were brought up in a different time. We were, you know, and we, if we're not careful, many of us are sort of remembering our own childhood and going, well, that was a disaster, and there's no way I'm going to parent like that. I mean, you know, smacking is a good example, isn't it? But other times we sort of, you know, we have that our old programming that we've got to give, I've got to give them as many skills as they can so that their personal statement looks fantastic. And it's like, oh, come on, give me a break. You know, we need our kids to be mentally healthy, because then they have the opportunity to shine in whatever their chosen field is. And we know that kids, you know, anyone that's sort of said, you know, a curse word, and then there's, you know, their sort of 5-year-old sits in the back of the car and repeats it 20 times. We know that children mirror our behavior. And so therefore, we need to be the role models for our young adults, because let's face it, they're going to be the ones that are in charge of putting us in a home later on, aren't they? So we need to be able to develop young people who have different ways of thinking. Hurrah, hurrah. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm listening to sort of careers that sort of some kids are doing, and my niece is, she's got an internship, and she did English at university, and she's doing an internship with a movie sort of company, and she's reading the books to sort of have a look and see if they could potentially turn into movies. Well, our careers officer wouldn't have said this is a really good career, would it? Would they? They would have sort of said, you know, in the olden days, nursing or doctor, or, you know, lawyer or accountant. But now, all these jobs that our kids are going into, we are limiting them by our own knowledge. So I think the thing is for us to go, listen, let's go and investigate, or go and investigate and come back and tell me what you've come up with.
Absolutely.
We can learn with them.
Wow, I like, you know, what has come to mind as you spoke about that, Kai, is our kids are changing the economy.
Yes.
They're coming up with jobs, solutions that didn't exist in our time. Like you said, mm-hmm. a career advisor my age will talk about, oh, you're very good at math, so go do engineering. And the kid, I mean, my kid the other day was talking to me about, I can't even remember what it was. I was like, what is that? It's like food, you know, like, I can't even mention that word, Kai, because I was like, what is that? And it's not the first thing that she has talked about. And I'm like, what is that? And the thing is, and one of the things she said she wanted to be was become a marine biologist, but there was something else, a niche. And I'm like, what is that? And if we don't listen to them, what we are doing, we truly are constricting them.
Yes.
And like you said about trusting them, this is one of my very open beliefs. I believe that the same life that beats your kid's heart, and you have no control over that, so you, we can't say that it's because of me, the same one that helps the blood flow through them, all those many gallons, the same one that makes them breathe in and out without that intelligence, we need to trust it. We need to trust it in them. And you, and I think we need to help them connect more with their intuition.
Yes.
Which is their inner tutor, not us, because we are not them.
We need, we need to actually learn about our own intuition. That's what we said at the top of the hour, was you need to trust your own gut. And we need to show our children that trusting their gut is equally important. I mean, on my podcast, I a while back, I interviewed two sisters, and they were in their teens, early teens, and they had a book subscription box for teenagers and young people. And it was like, how cool is this? I mean, they were entrepreneurs at the age of 12. And it was like, that's what we should be encouraging, is for our kids to come up with our ideas and for us to go run with it. This just sounds fabulous. Why not give it a whirl? You know, what is the, I always say to my kids, what is the worst that can happen? The sky will not fall in. You might sort of get something wrong, or you might sort of, but I'll tell you what, you'll learn and you'll get more experience and you'll have the courage to do something different. And that's what I think a lot of the time we were brought up, oh no, you've got to be careful. Oh no, you've got to, you know, just sort of hedge your bets and make sure that you don't fail at anything. And I think the thing is, and this is the problem, is that failure is always looked at as something which is bad. But for me, failure is the flip side of success. And so I think we should encourage our kids to give it a go and see what happens, whatever it is, you know, whether or not it's asking someone out on a date, whether or not it's taking a GCSE early, whether or not it's wanting to be an entrepreneur at the age of 12, whatever it is, it's, listen, I've got your back and I believe in you. Because when we believe in our kids and have faith in them, we are giving them the wings to fly.
That is so good. You know, that is so good, Kai. You know, I think we could talk forever, because, you know, I'm just having some goosebumps as we speak. And I'm thinking, do you know what? Today is one of those days I've just listened. Usually I'm down writing, I'm writing. But I'm just listening. I'm wondering, should I write that? Should I? But I think what I'll do is re-listen to this and actually write, because I'm like, if I write, I might, that, you've seen me wanting to do it. Yeah. So I'm thinking, if I'm writing, I'm not listening to everything and I want to hear it. So I'm going to be re-listening to this, because some of the gems that you're dropping is just, they're just so practical and so real. And so what I'm going to ask you now, as we come to a close, is, you've talked to us about your teen toolbox, but before you tell us where we can grab a hold of that, I want you to give us some practical tips of, we as parents, for example, today, if I want to change how I have been doing things, because from just this conversation, there is an awareness that has happened. And again, like we said, guys, this is not about shaming anyone, blaming anyone, or making anyone feel guilty. We are about learning, about awareness. And when we as leaders, because that's what we are, parents are leaders, when we as leaders become aware of something, we do something about it. Why? Because we know that we have young people, or followers, you would want to call them, that we need to be able to influence. So tell us some of the sort of self-care pointers that we as parents can practice, like straight away today, to be that influential person. You know, I know you've talked about trusting ourselves, and I love that. If you repeat that, that's fine, because I love it. Yeah, so tell us some of the self-care activities that we as parents can practice today to be able to become like great influencers, credible influencers to our young people.
So self-care is not just lavender bath bombs. It can be that, but it's not just that. Self-care is being kind to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Self-care is shutting up this little voice that goes, you're not doing this right, you're getting this wrong. So the first thing I want you to do is to avoid the mum guilt, because you are doing the very best that you can with the knowledge and the resources that you have. Yeah, you might mess it up, but we all do. And so the thing is, I think guilt is probably one of the is the biggest negative emotion. It's just a waste of time. Having guilt is a bit like being on a diet and and eating a packet of chocolate hobnobs and going, oh my God, I've got to eat. And actually, if you stopped and took yourself out of that sort of spiral of guilt and, oh, I've just gone off the wagon and I'm going to be so, just stop and just say, this is okay.
Mm-hmm.
You can do something about it and enjoy one or two chocolate hobnobs. Then what you're doing is you are no longer feeling the guilt. You're enjoying what you are doing at the minute. You are living in the moment, and then you don't actually demolish the whole blooming packet. So guilt is a waste of time. It is, stop beating yourself up and just sort of go, do you know what? I'm going to learn from this, or I can do something different, or just say sorry to your kids. But mum guilt is a total waste of time. One thing I do want to say is, you've heard it, and I don't want to sort of do the, oh, you know, you've heard about the oxygen mask. If indeed you drop down on water, take the oxygen. We've heard it. Yeah, yawn. But the point is, it's so true, because mm-hmm. if we are not looking after ourselves, yeah, okay, our batteries sort of run low. Yeah, okay, we get cross and we yell at our kids. But we mentioned being role models. If you are not looking after yourself, what you are saying to your kids is, you are the center of attention at the minute, but when you turn into an adult like me, you won't matter.
Mm.
And actually, that's rubbish. What we want to do is to say, it doesn't matter what age you are, you do matter. You are important. You are loved, understood, and respected. And we need to put ourselves, I believe we need to put our needs first, because then we can serve everyone else, but not just because of that, because you are setting an example to your child that they don't have to put themselves on the scrap heap by the time they're your age.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so important. We need our kids, you know, because otherwise it's, well, why would I want to grow up? Because I'm just going to end up like mom. No, that's not the way of it. It's to enjoy life and to, you know, grab it by the short and curlies, and yes, go and do the things that you love. And it could be digging beetroot in the vegetable patch, or it could be lavender bath bombs, or it could be meeting girlfriends for lunch, or it could be writing that book, or it could be asking someone else out on a date, or whatever it is. And don't always think that you want to live your life vicariously through your children. You actually need to say to your kids, and I remember when I did it, because I was a stay-at-home mum, and before I came a parenting coach, I was a wedding and portrait photographer. And I remember when I said to my kids, oh my God, I'm going to go back into the workplace and I'm going to do photography. And they suddenly thought, oh crap, she's not just mum. And
yeah.
Listen to her, and she's quite fun, and she's quite creative, it's mm-hmm. quite interesting. And then they, you know, and then they followed my sort of my entrepreneurial journey and suddenly realize, oh, you could do this and you can do that. And it just helps them sort of not just look at you as someone, or not just look at the family, or just, and it just helps open up a different world, and it will benefit you and it will benefit your children.
And by doing that, all those self-care aspects in terms of reviving your dreams, actually digging them up and dusting them up, you became a credible role yeah. model, right? Actually a credible, because there's sometimes most parents, and I have seen this through, not most parents say, oh, I'll die for my kids.
Yeah.
What about you live for your kids?
Yes.
Right? What about you live? You begin to do things that give you life. You begin to become the person. And that doesn't mean you're grabbing them and going dancing with them. That's none of that. Like I said, go and do the thing you love.
Yeah.
You know, begin to be that creative person. Begin to, you know, if it's entrepreneurship, is that what you wanted to do? go for it. And when they look, they can see, mom, she's not all that. It's not just mom or dad. It's not just something. They are someone. Right?
I remember it was one time we were on holiday and my kids, a couple of them decided they wanted to go skydiving. And, you know, my husband went, oh God, no way, absolutely not. And I went, can I come too? And it was like, what, you want to do this? And it was, well, no, not really, but I think I ought to because I, you know, and it's, I'm not going to get another chance. And it was really funny because, yes, we had hilarity and yes, it was terrifying, and but it just... It just sort of, it was just fun. And, you know, rather than sort of thinking, well, you know, mum wouldn't want to do that because she's too old. Mm. And, you know, it was just, it's just taking that sort of leap and doing fun stuff as well as just, you know, living out your dreams or whatever it is. It's just, and by doing these things, you are pushing your own boundaries and you are giving yourself more opportunities. And then when you jump out of a plane, other things don't seem quite as scary. So I think we need to push our limits a bit.
And that is what we call parenting by faith and yeah. not by fear. Because when we do it from a fear point, there's a lot of negativity that comes with it, a lot of it unbeknownst to us. There's a lot of bumps and hampers that we put for our kids because they can feel our fear. They can feel our fear, but at the same time, they can feel your faith. They yes. know this one, she's unstoppable. So yeah. if this mom's unstoppable, I know I too can be unstoppable. And that, like you said, we help them open their wings. So tell us a little bit about your team toolbox. I know a lot of things that you've talked about are possibly in that package. Tell us a little bit about that.
Please. Well, there is that book here available on Amazon. It's I've just got a lot of resources that are available for parents. And I've got a podcast. I've reached 100 episodes on that. And that's Kai Graham, Pet the Parents and Teen Toolbox. So you can sort of Google that or it's on Spotify. And Apple Podcasts, but it's just, there's a lot of sort of free resources. I've got a full YouTube channel and it is all, it's just sort of no nonsense parenting really, and just helping parents to just sort of, as we've been talking, just trust themselves. I've got a number of courses on anxiety and confidence. There's a big self-care one there. Coping with meltdowns. All of these resources are available through my website, which is kaigraham.com. And you can find me on Facebook and Instagram.
Oh, nice. You guys, you heard that. And what do we usually say here at Raising Remarkable Teenagers? What we say is, make sure today you grab one thing that Kai said, one piece of information, take action on that so you can get your own transformation, because we don't want to be just hearers. We want to be action takers, because that's what leaders are. You as a parent are a leader, and leaders actually take action because we want something to change, because without taking action, nothing changes. And I know that you're going to do that, because I'm going to be hearing a lot of feedback from you guys. If you want anything clarified anymore, I want you to go to kaigraham.com, because I know truly she's a no-nonsense parenting, you know, give you like it is, you know, and it's that's what we as leaders want to hear, so that we can take action. So Kai, thank you so much. Have you got any sort of last minute wind down or wind up or something yeah. that you can share with us before we go?
Just remember that parenting it's a marathon and it's not a sprint. Mm. And so it's better to do baby steps rather than think that you can achieve everything all in one go. So just do little tiny sort of, you know, little changes, and that will soon turn into big changes. So yeah, just, and be kind to yourself.
Absolutely. And I love what you've just said. I was gonna just end it there, but I like what you said about the little steps.
Yeah,
because even little, you know, You guys know small hinges move big doors. So just those little, even subtle changes, like taking care of yourself, trusting yourself, it can completely change yourself, myself, and my relationship with my kid. So let's do this. And I'm so, so grateful that you're here today. I'm so honored. And I am so, you know, Kai, if you can just say bye to everyone before I wind this down. I am gone.
Yeah, I just thank you for listening. If you're still here, if there's anything that you need to clarify, give me a shout on Instagram. That's probably the fastest way of getting hold of me. But thank you very much. And just keep going. You're heading in the right direction. So just keep going.
Oh, brilliant. Thank you, everyone, for coming on today. Tuesday Tips for Parents of Teens here at Raising Remarkable Teenagers. And we honor you. We honor you. And we honor you because we know that you have invested this 1 hour for your own growth. And as you grow, your kids grow. We'll see you in our next episode. And for now, we're just saying bye-bye. Bye-bye.